First of all, I'd like to thank the elders of the chapel for giving me this opportunity to share with you the story of, not the story, my life. How the Lord saved me. And as you were told this morning, it was 50 years ago today, the exact day, July 3rd, and it was about this time. So you could imagine how I feel this evening. 50 years that the Lord has blessed me. And I'd like to preface what I have to say. I do a lot of introspection. And looking back on my life, as a lot of people know, there are a lot of trivial things that I remember. I remember things that happened to me when I was 4 years old, three, 4 years old. And when I look back on my life, I see the hand of God working even when I was unsaved. You could see different events, different circumstances that you have that occur in your life that bring you to that point, that make you who you are in Him. As far as my early life is concerned, my father was born in Italy. My mother's parents were born in Poland. So as far as America is concerned, my father, every Christmas, he'd say, "God bless America." And I thank God for the country that we're living in, and the freedoms that we have. As far as my upbringing was concerned, I was a good Italian Catholic. We had a close-knit family. My father wasn't a churchgoer. My father, when he went to church, it was usually on either Easter and Christmas. My mother was faithful every week. She'd take us kids. I have three sisters and a brother. And she'd take us to church every week. I had religious instructions, brought up in the Catholic Church, went through First Communion, confirmation. At one time, in my younger years, I wanted to be an altar boy, fleeting, a priest. But so I grew up again with close family ties, great extended family, closest extended family, uncles, cousins, and so forth. But there were a couple events that occurred that were prominent as far as my salvation was concerned. Number one, when I was small, I was an avid reader, and one uncle was in construction demolition, and when he demolished things, sometimes he'd bring things home to us. And we had an old Frigidaire downstairs, an ice box, literal ice box. And in the ice box, we used to put books, and there were books that my uncle had gathered in his demolition business or whatever. And I was an avid reader, as I mentioned. And one day, I went to the fridge, and what do I find there? A Bible. took it out, and I figured something to read. I'll read it from cover to cover. So I started the Genesis, and I started reading. I didn't get very far. My father saw me reading the Bible, and he took it away from me, and he said, "You shouldn't be reading that." In those days, probably more so than today, the clergy were the ones that handled the Word of God, not the laity. Secondly, prominent in every life was confession. Before you went to receive communion, you'd have to go to confession. And I could recall, go into this box, and the priest was on the other side of the confessional. And there were times when I really didn't do anything wrong. I really, you know, I couldn't remember things that had occurred that I did wrong. So I'd make things up. And there were other times that were, I did things that I was so ashamed of that I wasn't going to tell anybody. And so although anyone that is familiar with Catholicism or whatever, after you go to confession, you say the act of contrition, and to this day I still remember it. It goes something like this: "Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee, and I detest all my sins because of thy just punishment. For all the sins of my past life, I am sorry. I firmly resolve, with the help of thy grace, to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. Amen." And I figured that little phrase, "for these and all the sins of my past life," oh, and that would take care of what I didn't want to tell them. I was too ashamed of. So I passed my youth. Still in Catholicism, graduated from high school, went away to college. When I went to UConn, there are a couple of things that I'd like to mention that were important even at that stage. Three that stand out in my mind. One, I went to UConn, and before I started my freshman year, I went to summer school, and I stayed at the university, first time away from home, and was friendly with a few guys in the dorm that I lived with, and one of the boys played the organ. And one day he approached me and a couple of the other guys and said, "Well, I'm going to play the organ at the Congregational Church tonight. You know, do you want to come over?" And it wasn't a formal, it was after hours. He just wanted to practice on the organ. So I said, okay. And I went along with him. And the place was dark. And for the first time in my life, first time ever, I was in a church other than Catholic. And I could remember vividly sitting there, fear, waiting for the lightning bolt. Okay? Didn't happen. Second thing that happened, we got into a discussion. There were a bunch of guys. We were playing ping pong in the rec room, and we got into a discussion of the forbidden area. You know, you're not supposed to discuss politics and religion. And we started discussing religion. And being a good Catholic, I presented Catholicism as the one true faith. Okay? The one true faith. And I could remember one boy that I was talking with, and he started crying. He started crying, and I think to this day, I think today, what did I do? What did I do? And then during my time at UConn, the university placed me in a fraternity because it was university housing, and started drinking weekends. And weekends after drinking, I'd wake up with a hangover or whatever, not going to church. And as a Catholic, my conscience started bothering me. Didn't go to church. In Catholicism, you don't go to church. That's a mortal sin. You die with a mortal sin, you've had it. You go to hell. And so I didn't go for 1 week. Didn't go for 2 weeks. After a while, you feel so guilty, I didn't go to confession anymore. And I got farther and farther away from the Lord. Or farther and farther away from God. Okay. By the time I got to the end of graduated from UConn, I had to go 4.5 years. I switched majors from engineering to education, graduated in education, and graduated in January. And again, looking back, all these things work in. Okay. Graduating in January, I had to find a temporary job. And it just so happened that in my hometown, a teacher was pregnant, and I took her place, filled out the rest of the year. At the end of the year, I was asked if I wanted to continue teaching in the system. And I had grown up in the system all my life. No. I said, no, I don't want to teach in the town. I know too many people. I know too many kids. And started looking for a job. Found a job way out in the middle of nowhere in a 2-room schoolhouse in the Massachusetts, in the Berkshire Hills, way out, teaching 3 grades in 1 room. The year passed, had a good year. The end of the year comes around. Sorry, Pete, we don't need you anymore. You're going to have to move on, find another job. So, okay, what am I going to do? I have to start applying again. The middle of the summer came. I got a call from the superintendent of the same system, and he said, we have an opening in the village school, which is, it was teaching sixth grade. I had a sixth grade homeroom teaching sixth, seventh, and eighth grade English. And it was then I met my wife's sister. And eventually, I met my wife. After working up enough courage, I asked her for a date. She accepted. We went to dinner together. And I was sitting across the table from her. And the very first date, first time, okay, we're sitting across the table. And she told me how she was saved. She witnessed to me. And I was across the table and, you know, not saying very, I was a quiet person anyway, quiet. My wife will tell you that. And my thoughts were, she's crazy, you know, she's nuts. She's a good kid, so we continued to date. And then she didn't tell me at the time, but she was, being a Christian, she knew that she couldn't marry an unsaved individual, an unsaved person. She never told me. She never said anything. She just said, she thought I was getting too serious. She said, see you later. So I said, fine. A couple of months went by. I took a course toward my master's at summer school, and I was on my way home. And I stopped in the phone booth, and I figured I'll give her a call, see if, you know, if she'd like to go out again. So I stopped at the phone booth, called, and she said, yeah, why don't you come up? And I said, fine. So I went up, and within probably the second time that we saw each other, she loaned me her Bible. And I took the Bible home. I took the Bible home. And I could remember, you can't, I wouldn't recommend this. It's not, but what I decided to do, open the Bible and see what verse, what's the first verse that I read, you know, that I, you know, and most of the time when you do something like that, who knows, you wind up in Philemon or whatever, okay? But this is all, I just want to read together the first verse that I read. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And verse 3. First verse that I read. First verse. Verse 3. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I wasn't saved, but I thought, wow. You know. And what did I do? The next thing that I did, I read all the way through. I started in with the Gospels, and I read all the way through all the Gospels, all the epistles. And I had a piece of paper, and I wrote down all the verses that I could find that contradicted what I believed as a Catholic. And I thought to myself, whoa. There were so many. And I just wanted to take a look at two in particular in 1 Timothy. Two that I looked at in 1 Timothy. There were a whole bunch, and I was praying that it could find that sheet again, but I couldn't find it. Couldn't find it at home. I think I still have it. 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. Begin with just verses 4 and 5. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? And verse 5 is the one. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One mediator. Not a priest between, but you could talk to God person to person. Secondly, just over to chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now at that time, things have changed over the years, but at that time, Fridays, no meat. He didn't eat meat on Fridays. Before Christmas, you know, we'd have Christmas, big family together, and we'd have pasta or whatever, something before midnight, but after midnight, we'd come back from church, go to midnight mass or whatever, come back home and have a meat meal, okay? So, and then secondly, I thought, you know, priests. It says, forbidding to marry. And that's what it's all about. Forbidding to marry. So, again, there were, as you know, there are many contradictions that I found. So my mind was working. And a week or two went by, and Grace asked me to go to a gospel meeting. And maybe a week or so before, I would have said, no way. But again, just the right things happen at just the right time. His time, the Lord's time. So we went to the gospel meeting. And that hymn that we sang tonight that I requested, that was the first hymn that I heard when I went to that gospel meeting. I wasn't saved, but in the back of my mind, and I didn't mention this to my wife either, in the back of my mind I thought, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I'm supposed to be. So we continued to go to the gospel meetings, go to the breaking bread on Sunday, and it was a close, tighter assembly, and we had to sit in the back. Those that were unsaved had to sit in the back, and still continued to go, continued to hear the word, and there were many occasions when we'd go back to her parents' house in Granville, Mass, and cry together. Cry. You know, in my mind, it was always, what do I have? I want to be saved. What do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do? And then, again, went back one night. Decided to follow the same procedure as I had before. Just pick a verse and see what happens. Okay? It just happened to be, it was in Isaiah that I turned this particular verse. First verse that I read after Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 9. 26 and verse 9. And imagine the impact that this had on me too. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Wow. Wow. Still not saved, though. So we continued, you know, I continued to go to the gospel meetings, and
then 1966, July 3rd, Graves' brother had been married the day before on July 2nd, Saturday the 2nd. And there was a preacher that came in from Philadelphia, Clay Fite. And he stayed over to preach the following day. And the portion that he was preaching on was Luke chapter 18, the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. And hon, I'm doing this without my glasses. Luke chapter 18. Beginning with verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up unto the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, if in the Catholic Church, on Sunday, the priest did read portions of Scripture, never read the whole, you know, just selected portions on Sunday. And I had heard this particular portion before. But got to that verse where the publican said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the best way that I could describe it is, you know, it was almost like scales falling from my eyes. And I thought in my mind, what do I have to do to be saved? Nothing. Because it has already been done. Christ died for my sins. It's already been done. There was nothing that I had to do. And, you know, and this is, again, the workings of the mind. I thought, my thoughts went, I knew I was saved. My thoughts went, well, what do people expect me to do? Do they expect me to jump up, shout, hallelujah? And I thought, that's not me. I'm an introverted person. You know, I'm very introverted. And after the meeting was over, the world to me seemed brighter. It seemed literally brighter. And I was so shaken that Grace had to drive home from meeting that night. She didn't know. So a week went by. We went to the morning meeting on Sunday. And we had a good friend who's now with the Lord. And he came up to me on Sunday morning. And all that he said to me, he looked at me and he said, isn't it great to be saved? And I said, yes, it is. And wow, you know, it's out, it's there. I said it, you know. And then the Lord saved me. But he had more in mind for me. Today's the 3rd of July. Tomorrow's the 4th. I had promised Grace's mother that I would bring up a watermelon for the 4th of July. I'm a procrastinator. Okay. And if you remember those days 50 years ago, there were, you know, like the blue laws, and a lot of places closed up on 4th of July. And I left home a watermelon, started looking, every place is closed. And I prayed, Lord, I pray that there be a place open where I could get a watermelon. And no sooner had I said that prayer, looked over on the side of the road, there was a stand that was open, and there was the watermelon. And I thought, wow, whoa. Talk about a positive affirmation. Wow. Just a little watermelon. Then there was the other aspect, another aspect that the Lord sent my way. I would go home on weekends. And Grace was working for a doctor in Springfield. And this particular day, I went home. As I mentioned, I've got three sisters and a brother. My brother was away in the service. He was in the Navy. He was away. So my three sisters were home. My three sisters got my mother out of the house. And they were waiting for me. And I walked in the door. My three sisters were there. We sat down. And then it started. First they looked at me and they said, you know you're going to hell. And I said, no. I know I'm going to heaven. And that's all that what a Catholic can say. You know. Catholic relying on works could say, well, maybe if I'm good enough, I'll go. But I know that I had the security in him. So first they said, you're going to hell. Secondly, you know you hurt Ma and Pa. I said, don't mean to hurt anyone. Don't mean to hurt anyone. And then they said to me, now as I mentioned, we had a close extended family. Very close, all close aunts, like I said. Real close. And we get together, particularly on holidays. And they said, "Well, usually it would be at my parents' house." And they said, "Well, if we know you're going to be there, we won't be there." Okay. And then I went into teaching. I switched from engineering to teaching because I liked kids. I loved kids. And I loved teaching kids. And my 34 years or whatever, I loved teaching. And I used to take my nieces and nephews to the zoo and down to the store and get them the, you know, bubble gum or whatever, treats. They said, we'll never let you take the kids anywhere anymore. Wow. And finally, they saw that they weren't making any headway. And the last thing that they said to me, they looked at me and they said, "We always knew you were crazy." And talk about first, you know, the answered prayer, and now going through the furnace. But I got back home again, and there were again the comfort from that I had from the scriptures. And there were two portions that I turned to in particular. Three, actually. First is in Matthew chapter 10, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, and I'm going to wind up here in a second. Matthew chapter 10. And verses 32 to 37. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall they be of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And one more short chapter, Psalm 124. Psalm 124. "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." The Lord is good. And my time is up. I wish I had more time. But before I pray, when I finish praying, I'd like you just to keep your eyes closed for a second, just for about two more minutes, two and a half more minutes, and think for a second about what the Lord has done in the past for you, what he is doing now, and what he will do for us, both now and for eternity. We look to the Lord in prayer. Oh God and Father, I thank you that through your grace and through your mercy that you saved me, that you made me your own. And I pray, oh God and Father, for all the saints here that they would be uplifted, they would strive heartily for you and for your word. Oh God and Father, for those that are unsaved, that they would come to know your Son as their Lord and Savior.
You know, God and Father, that he is our all in all. And we entrust everything to your care. And we ask these things, giving thanks in your Son's worthy and precious name we pray. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Love.